All right. What I want to do, I want to share with us briefly, like I said, I want to preach on what I titled, How to Change the World. Yeah, laugh loud, if you like. All right. Sounds funny, right?
Yes.
Yes, it sounds funny, but I think I should tell Christians how to change the world. All right? I should, because like I told you, something happened earlier, which disturbed me a bit, and I think the reason... Well, something that somebody said, and I realized this is a problem Christians have a lot of times. And you listen to what I want to say carefully. Follow me. We'll read a number of scriptures, but I want you to follow me very carefully. I told you something a while ago. One day, I was watching TV, and my mother was saying some things. And he speaks a lot of very wise things. I mean, there are a few areas where he and I would disagree on some issues, especially in the matter of seed sowing and reaping. I believe in consistency in giving, all right? But that he speaks a lot of wisdom. So that day he said something. And when he said it, I called my wife. I said, come and sit down. He's talking to you. Do you understand? You know what I mean? My mother was talking about the secrets of the richest man who ever lived, Solomon, all right? And one of the things he said is the secret of Solomon is that Solomon never wasted his time correcting fools. And I shouted to my wife, say, come and sit down. Mike Murdoch is talking to you. Why did I say that? Because I told my wife, you waste your time a lot correcting people you should disconnect from. Please, listen to me carefully. It will help you. It will help you. Somebody said something to me not too long ago, and I realized the confusion in his life is because he's trying to change the world. Hear me, you can't. Let me start from there. You can't change your father. You can't change your mother. You can't change your brother. You can't change your sister. You can't change your friend. Hear me, you can't change the world. There's only one person you can change. You. You can't change your children. You can train them. You can flog them. You can't change them. Listen to me, there's no guarantee. We're not discussing details. Let me focus. I will try and focus on how to change the world. All right? There's no guarantee that having trained your children, they will be good. Let me say what I'm saying. Please, don't forget what I'm saying. Don't miss me here. All right? I'm not saying that God won't help you. But there's no law that says if you flog your children away, they will turn out well. Now, lie. What we do as believers is that we do what is right. That's why everything you do must be backed by prayer. Don't think I have trained my children well. They must turn out well. That's nonsense. You will train them very well. You will be amazed at what they will turn out to be. That's why you do your part. You flog them. You teach them. But most importantly, you get on your knees every day and pray for them. And when you see them, you prophesy upon them. Because you know only by the power of the Spirit can they turn out well. Because as you are training them, there are people who are arming themselves to untrain them. The world is out there to wreck everything. I saw a magazine the other day. I had to ask, why must... You know, human beings have become so crazy. Do you get my point? They saw three of these actors and actresses. And must you... Even my wife was appalled. Must you dress like this? What is it giving to you? Are you so ugly? You have to distract us from your face with your breast? That's one of the strategies. When you find you are so useless looking, you look for something else for us to do, to be looking at, like Mariah Carey. What am I going to? Actually, it's one of the strategies of the devil to help you poorly train your children. They will not lie to you that you can block what they are watching. They flood your home with it and tell you to be blocking it. What am I saying? If it is about method, eh? There are too many people fighting against you. They go to school. Do you know who's on the arrow? Most of the best things you learned, you in life. Who did you learn it from? Your father? Not before school? Your classmates? From the time you were 5 years old? Who told you that it has changed in the life of your children? It hasn't. That's why you must kneel, pray. If your child misbehaves, thrash him. Every morning, instruct him with the word of God. But the only guarantee you have, my brother, my sister, is prayer. You will defend him or her from bad friends with your prayer, you will not be there. But the angels of God will be there in response to your prayer. That's a bit of digression. Let me see what I'm saying. The fact is that you can't change anybody. You can't change the world like by your effort. You can't. I said to you last time, people wrongly reinterpret events. Apartheid came to an end because the South Africans fought. It's a lie. Till he died, Pieter Botha, that was the prime minister before de Klerk, right? Pieter Botha was a diehard racist. Till the man died, forget it. Racism was in his blood. Fight from now to tomorrow. That guy ain't granting you equal rights. I will explain something as I go on. You will see that it's God that changes events. He's the one that appoints times and seasons. Listen, and we'll get down to it. Like I told people, I've said this several times. Pastor Bakari organized Save Nigeria Group. He decided to contest with Muhammadu Buhari as vice president. That is not a prophetic office, and you will be a complete Christian idiot to follow him into it. It's not prophetic. It's his individual and personal preference. Are you getting my point? If he wants to organize Save Nigeria Group, fine. If he decides that he wants to contest next one for presidency himself, that's his personal issue. But it does not command your followership. It's not the prophetic office he's manifesting there. Why did I bring that one out? All right? Maybe he's doing that because he wants to change Nigeria. Listen, don't think there is a Christian. I've heard people preach before. How many Christians are ready to do what Ganifahemi is doing? And I said, nobody should. That's not how we change the world. Now, when I say nobody should, what I mean is that it's not our Christian commandment. It's not like you Christians are not serious. You are only a non-believer, a Muslim, like Ghani, is doing that. That's Ghani's problem. It's not a Christian commandment. It is not. I will show you what a Christian commandment is. Open your Bibles. Let's begin to read. Matthew chapter 5 is where we'll start from. The book of Matthew chapter 5, I'll start from verse 14. What I'm saying is that Christians, the Bible says that hope that is deferred, all right, it makes the heart what? Sick. Usually when you are laboring and laboring and laboring, I remember a friend of mine decided he wanted to preach the gospel to people. And before he would preach to them, he tried to be nice to them. He was very nice to them. Then the day he preached, they rejected the gospel, so he was angry. That's not how to preach. If you want to be nice to people, be nice to them because they need it. You don't feed a man who is not hungry just because you are hoping he will listen to your gospel when you come. He's not hungry, he can buy his own food. Let him go and buy his own food. Don't say, oh, no, come and eat. You know, I'm a Christian man. I want to show you the love of God. He's not hungry. Go and give the food to the people who are hungry. That was what he did. And he got discouraged. Christians have that problem a lot of times in life. You know, you get to your office and people start telling you, eh? I know some people, self-righteous Pharisees, you know, they come to you. How can you be here? Your boss is still committing adultery. So I told him that next time they ask you like that, I tell them he didn't ask my opinion about whether he should or he shouldn't. Yeah, it's simple. So how can you be here and your boss is still doing this? He didn't ask my opinion. People will tell me then that, hey, how can Professor Jerry Garner say he's a Christian and he's in government and government is he doing like this? Daniel was a Christian, you know what I'm saying now? And he was in government. Did Nebuchadnezzar stop worshipping idols? Now when the man I jammed personally, God knew how he made the man stop. Do you get what I'm saying? It wasn't that Daniel said, you know, Christians, you'll be going on the road. I've seen it before. You see Christians fighting policemen on the road because he's taking bread. A friend of mine said so it was in a vehicle one day. Not now that policemen take it openly. Those are the ones they used to go to the back. So the man went to the back to collect. The brother jumped out of the car. No, you cannot give it. You cannot accept it. The policeman beat him very well. He said, I'm suffering for righteousness' sake. No, you are suffering for foolishness' sake. Look, listen, because it discourages people. They feel like, as a light of the world, none of these things should go on where you are. Listen to me. Anyway, we'll go on. Where I want us to start from is the words of Jesus from the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. He said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, listen to me, do not resist him who is evil. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. And whoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him too. He was talking about, particularly about the attitude of Roman conquerors, all right? That is, the oppressors. Because a soldier could give you his things. He said, carry this thing for me for a while. He said, give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Verse 43. He now went to verse 43 to say, you have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you might be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Now let me just stop there. You'll see why I read this in a moment. The summary of what Jesus was saying is simple. I like the first line. Don't resist that which is evil. Him who is evil. He wasn't saying join him. Are you getting my point? But it is not your duty, do you get my point, to force him to stop that which he's doing, which is wrong. It's not Christian duty. It's, listen, I don't have all the time to go into these details, these things in details line by line, but I'll explain some general principles to you. If your boss collects bribe, it's none of your business. If your boss gives bribe, he didn't ask your opinion, it's none of your business. Christians fight fights that nobody sent them. I will show you what I'm saying in a moment, how to change the world. Let's not waste time reading scriptures. He said, you are what? The light of the world. You know, let me explain something here. It will be a good illustration. A man is supposed to bear rule in his house, right? A woman is supposed to submit to her husband, right? What if the woman refuses to submit? What would the man do? It's a question. Should I give you an answer? Nothing. There is nothing he can do. There is nothing he's commanded to do. The only commandment he's given is love your wife. You will see, the man was never commanded to be... Now, listen to what I'm saying carefully. He was never commanded to rule his house. He was commanded to love his house, love his wife. Are you getting my point? And the woman first before him was commanded. Peter commanded, all right? Paul commanded, and both of them started with, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Because that's where the power lies. If the woman says no, there's nothing the guy can do. When men don't understand that, that's when brushing starts. You don't know what's brushing. I don't mean toothpaste. I mean beating. Yeah, because it is frustrating for you to be put in charge of people who don't listen to you. It's very frustrating for you to be put in charge of somebody who does not listen to you. Is extremely frustrating. And that frustration is what a lot of men express in physically beating their wives. What is Christianity? What could he have done? The only commandment he has, all right, is to what? Love his wife. It's her duty to deliberately submit to his rulership. The only time Paul now talked about people ruling was when you want to assess the man, check whether he's able to maintain control in his house. Do you get my point? But let me ask you a question. Will Paul have said, put in charge a man who beats everybody into submission? That's why I never said subdue your wife. Therefore, if your boss wants to steal, I'm sorry to say it, it's none of your business. If you don't like it, take a piece of paper, resign, and walk away. Nobody should come and judge you that you're in this office, they are still stealing. Ask them, when did I become their husbands? When did I become their fathers? Am I the governor of this office? He said, as a Christian, he said, let your light shine. This is the point. The only thing you can do is you don't steal under any circumstance. That's the only thing Christians are supposed to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me say it again. The only thing a Christian can do is that he is the light. That's why, you see, Jesus said something. He said, while I am in the world, that's in John chapter 9, I am the light of the world. He never forced anybody to do anything. You know what he did? He set examples. What does light do? Light shows you direction. So he will set an example. And he tells you, don't resist. Don't fight the man who doesn't want to follow. Are you following my point? Are you following my point? Because there's a reason why I'm saying it. Because I find that people get frustrated. I was telling you earlier. Daddy Mike Murdoch said,
Solomon never wasted his time correcting fools. For a long time, I've been married for a long time. I've known my wife for a very long time. For years, I've been trying to explain that issue to her. Just I didn't put it the way Mike Murdock did. Let me give an example. She will say to me that, no, please, let me first explain this briefly. I'm not saying I'm perfectly all right. Amen? So I'm not saying I'm perfectly all right. Sometimes I'm on the other extreme. So be careful when you are following somebody saying help. I saw Pastor Bank on the road. He slapped a bus driver. They begin fight. That man, they take nonsense. That's wickedness. That's stupidity. That's foolishness. Are you getting my point? If you saw me doing it, go and pray. Say, Pastor, deliver him from evil. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I need to clarify that. Now, so this one extreme I used to use. I need to use that extreme to explain something. I'm a man who never, those days, I didn't, look, you know what they call follow up, follow somebody up? And I didn't know how to do it. I used to, if I watch you driving your car into hellfire, if you had begged me for petrol, I would dash you safe. I wasn't wicked though. It wasn't like, why do you want me to die and go to hellfire? No. Usually, I just felt that I've perceived that you want to die and go to hellfire. And since it is your duty to go wherever you want, you can go. But if you ask me for direction away from hellfire to heaven, are you following my point? I will gladly give it to you. That was always my philosophy. You know, I first explained to you that I'm not saying it is right. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I explained that. Okay? But the other extreme that my wife used to be. If she can buy rope, tie you, put you on her shoulder, and bring you to church, she will do it. And I used to say, baby, wait. The guy does not want to go. He said, no. Why shouldn't he go? Don't you know church is good for him? I said, I know. You know. He doesn't think so. And since he is not your son, you know, he's not your child, not somebody you have authority over, he's a friend, he's a relative, he's something like that, what can you do? Say, no, I used to look at me like, what kind of person are you? I'm a person who understands that human beings have responsibilities for their own lives. Now, what is the balance? Now, everything I've said is correct. What I mean by is, human beings have responsibilities for their lives. And don't even think yourself a failure just because your friend went to hell. You understand what I'm saying? No. I mean, I had an argument with a senior person once. So the reason why these guys are doing it wrong is because they are not taught. I said, then the reason why Judas did it wrong was because Jesus never taught him. If that's what you're saying. But we know that's not true. Judas did what he did despite all the instructions that the Lord gave simply because he was a son of perdition. God looked once and said, Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Leave him alone. How do you change the world? I've also established that you can't. Now let me tell you what you are supposed to do. You are supposed to be an example. That's all. I heard someone sent me a mail that said, the world is feeling angry. That the world is set to do evil. I said, yes, that's why it's called the world. Like I told you, it doesn't upset me. When, you know, the world does, if a worldly man marries three wives, what's my problem? It doesn't even upset me. I don't feel he's a foolish man. He's not a foolish man. He's a normal man. Read your Bible very well. That's what normal rich men do. It's only people like us that are abnormal. Amen? Yes, it's true. You know what I mean by abnormal? Christianity is abnormal. Amen? When it's defined by some of the world, it's abnormal. So it doesn't upset me. Say, can you believe it? He said, this governor, he has six girlfriends. I said, is he a member of your church? No. Answer. Why shouldn't he have six girlfriends? He doesn't go to your church. You know, I was listening the other day, and somebody was saying that, if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. That city people and code, they like, if a pastor makes a mistake, you understand? They will put it on the cover. Pastor found with two women. But they will never do if it's a Muslim. So I said, it is because it is not surprising if an allergy does. It's normal. It's not new. It's not news. That's why we make news. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, look, but this is the issue. When the world does what is wrong, it's not an issue. The issue is when Christians do it. It's news if you told me that the governor is a Christian, born again, that's what he said. Now he's in office, and we hear now he has a girlfriend somewhere. Then we will gather and call him and say, oh boy, you don't need smoke since you enter office. And I've told this story before. It actually happened in this nation. A governor who claimed to be a Christian was a member of a living church, entered into office, picked a concubine. The elders of the church gathered, called him. He did not listen. They excommunicated him as a sitting governor, and his persecution began outwardly. They did not persecute him. Are you following what I'm saying? How do we change the world? It's simple. When you get into the midst of them, you don't behave like them. You make sure that every time you are an example, you can't force anybody to follow your example. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen to me. Don't ever be comfortable with your sin. Do you get my point? When I say comfortable, now is that because every time in life, God will give you the opportunity to express your opinion. Are you getting me? That's the second point. Paul explained to Timothy, be always eager to express or to come to the defense of your faith. That is, when people ask you, why is it like this? Tell them simply. I've told Christians, don't hide. Hiding makes things difficult for you. If you're a student, for example, you're a woman, you're a student, and your lecturer is chasing you, don't run from him. Say, looking for you, go to his office. Good morning, sir. I heard you are looking for me. Yes, okay, no, okay, let me tell you the truth. I'm SU. No, they call SU. I'm a born-again Christian. If I try it, I will die, I will go to hell, and my blood will be upon your head and that of your grandchildren. Don't hide. When I was serving then, people will come. It happened a number of times. But there was one particular soldier then. Hakim, that was his name. I said, Doc, he's going to help me and arrange that I will make money. I said, what are you talking about? You have a printing press? He said, no, when this other doctor goes, he's the one doing all the abortions right now. It will now become your job. I look and say, you increase for head. But this is how we solved it. I said, you don't know me. I was still relatively new there. I said, you see, in my church, you do that, you will die and go to hell. It's very nice. Say it like that. Don't be, you know, it's not good. You have to have respect for human life. This is not human life. This is faith. If you do it, if I do it, I will die, and God will punish me, and all the blood of the children that I aborted will be chasing me at night. You can't explain that away. It helped me all the time. All this, I worked in the clinic once. I think I've told you this story before. If you listened to it for a long time, when I was in Lagos, I thought it was a normal clinic. It was an abortion clinic. A few, 3 weeks into my working there, the man decided to sack me because I wasn't cooperating. And I remember what I told him. That day he came to my office because what used to happen that, you know, there were two consulting rooms. They come and say, good afternoon, sir. Hello, what's the problem? I'm a doctor. I should ask you what your problem is. And they start by something got missing. And then I said, you missed it, eh? And they told this way to come and find it. So I said, please, excuse me. I'm a doctor of sick people, not people who are looking for missing property. So see, the lost but found man is on the other side. The man was bearing with me for a while. I saw, it was a very busy clinic, somewhere in Oroshoki in Lagos. Very busy clinic. So, I saw enough malarias and pneumonias and pains and all those kind of things to keep. In fact, some people who were crazy enough, all right, who wanted to keep their pregnancy also came there. So, I saw them. But that wasn't making money. This is all about money. It's not about helping anybody. It's about money. So, one day he got tired of me. He said, Doc, come. We need to talk. And I sat down. I knew what was coming up. He showed me the records, how much money flowed through my own clinic and how much money flowed through his own clinic. Why are you pretending like you don't know why? All your clients come to you, sick people come to me. He said, no. What am I trying to say? That, I said, excuse me, sir. Because he tried to bring out morals and explain what he's doing. I said, excuse me, sir. this is about my faith. I'm not trying to convince you, and you can't convince me. Let's forget this. He tried to discuss. I refused to discuss. I said, sir, you can't persuade me. And I'm not even trying to persuade you. That's what I told him. So the issue now is that can we work together or we can't? He said, he doesn't think we can. I said, fine, it's your clinic. I leave. He asked me how many days I worked. We calculated. He wrote me a check there for the balance of for the part of the month I have worked. I collected, thanked him very well, and I left. And I remember as I was leaving, the new doctor he just employed, I said, I don't live here. What's happening? I told him the story. I remember the guy stood out there for a while. I didn't preach to anybody. The simple thing is that I made my stand known. I'm sorry to say like this. If after I've made my stand known, you want to die and go to hell, feel free. I can't stop you. I don't have the duty to stop you. I'm sorry I'm back to it again. You've heard me when it comes to, you know, marrying also. In Jesus' name, if you're a man, you must never... Chasing a woman does not involve trying to persuade her. Amen? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
I know, like, you are not single people. Frank, you know, that time when you were still single, you know, you should give them a seminar. All these boys. No, you've heard me preaching many times. I told this wife where I married, I told her like that. She looked like which kind of men who want to marry, they beg. This one, no, they beg. What kind of nonsense beg with that? If I beg you now, I beg you to obey me tomorrow. I'll beg you to follow me. I beg you before I enter ministry. Beg you before I do anything. I said, this is my duty. And that's what I'm teaching you also. It's my duty to allow you know who I am. That's why I'm not bragging. I had a reputation for honesty. Now, when I say honesty, I don't mean I don't lie. I'm not saying I lie. I didn't lie again. What I mean by honesty is that I used to tell things that they didn't ask me. That's what I mean. Ask my wife. She said there was a time she was wondering what was wrong with this guy. Because I used to say things he did not ask. I will use style. You know style? Style. I'll stylishly tell you how much my monthly salary was. Now style. They say, hey. I'll say, can you believe it? One girl came yesterday, said she was selling shirts. That one shirt, 5,000. Hey! That is my salary. Will buy only two and finish. Hey! It's style. I've told you now it's only 10K. Have you? The shirt is 5,000. I can only buy two. What is the meaning? It was style. I said, this house is big. Do you know what is it? How many square meters? It's actually exactly 15.2 times bigger than my house in Lagos. I've told you. You see this house? Divided by 15. That's the size of my apartment in Lagos. Because we were in Benin, talking. You know my issue? Just see, this is bank. You know the way models do it? If you want to buy, buy. I'm serious. That was my duty. I just walk up and down the catwalk, turn. At the end of the day, I go away. Spring collection, 2011. If you want to buy, you know where the shop is. That's it. Just model my life for you. After I finish that, I now ask you, do you want to buy? Do you get my point? Will you marry me? The answer is either yes or no. If it is no, there's nothing like, why is it no? Which part didn't you understand? Not as good. No, what am I saying? You can't change the world. That's what you're supposed to do. So if you go somewhere, I tell people, that's why God never, all this lie will tell us that when you get to heaven, you will say, God, I brought four souls for you. God say, can you identify a soul when you see one? Paul plants, Apollos water, God converts the souls, period. So Paul can't drag anybody to heaven. Doesn't know how to convert anybody. He doesn't know how to convert anybody. He only knows how to what? Preach. And he's rewarded for the degree of preaching he did, not the amount of conversion he experienced. According to Rick Joyner, one of the most powerful prophets that ever lived was Jonah. Yeah. When it comes to anointing, that's what Rick Joyner said. That the Lord told him, of all the prophets that ever lived, one of the, if not they, I think he said the most powerful was Jonah. Jonah will start preaching, the whole nation will begin repentance on the spot. Meanwhile, he's grumbling inside. Say, God, they are repenting. What does that tell you? He didn't want them to repent. 40 days hence, Nineveh shall be destroyed. And if God doesn't destroy you, I'll buy my own bazooka and shoot all of you. You see, that's why I'm confident. The Lord is good. I mean, these days, I'm very confident in preaching. Listen, if you're a preacher, listen to my own testimony. I'm very confident. You can wake me up now. Let's say, I'm sleeping. Bam! I say, Pastor, wake up. What's happening? You're supposed to start preaching in 5 minutes time. 5 minutes? 5 minutes? Say, which meeting is that? Is it Kingdom God? Say, no, it's not Kingdom God. This is Sunday morning. This church invited you three months ago. You forgot it? They just called now. At this, I will rush, dress up as I'm going. I say, what's the topic? You go tell me. Not this for. Oh, let's welcome to the microphone. I have not settled down 1 minute to think of what I'm going to preach. But I'm not worried. Gone are the days when I used to say, hey, Father God, you will give me revelation. Not life. Not anymore. Just give me the microphone. That's my own. Hallelujah. It's so nice to be with you today. Oh, you are all looking very beautiful. May God bless the beauty on your faces. Amen. No, I will talk all the rubbish I want to talk. Do you know? I am persuaded you are being blessed. You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying. Jonah wasn't trying to convert the people. They converted. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. He wasn't trying. He wasn't trying to convert anybody. He was angry. He said, I go finish preaching now. God won't do what he said he will do. So as he was preaching, he said, I want all of them to die. They will die. They will die. That I'm a good prophet. And what happened? Everybody was converted. I have noticed. That's why, Bishop, were you the one I was telling earlier? Preach for 50 years, you still see something to preach. It's the same thing you are saying before. You still be saying the same thing. And people see getting blessed. They keep on getting blessed afresh. Why? It's not your power in your words. It's the power in the spirit that God is pouring into them as you are the focus of their attention. The serpent didn't carry anything. But once they focused on the serpent, they got healed. The preacher just a focus for what God wants to do. That's why nobody counts souls for God. Are you getting my point? What am I trying to say? This is how we change the world. You first an example. You first are what? An example. Now let me get back to it. When I say be an example, I don't mean a deliberate example. Deliberate examples don't work. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you go to the office. When you reach house, your clothes they squeeze well. You understand? When you're going to office, you are well dressed because the pastor said, even your shirt may preach the gospel. So when you are going, you say, where's my gospel preaching shirt for today? You iron it where iron Jesus is Lord into the creases. But when they reach your house, your bed sheet has not been changed in 3 months. 3 months. 3 months. That's what I mean. That's what I mean by deliberate example. It's not Christianity. When I was serving that time, there was one sergeant in our medical room. Very wicked soul. I won't give details more than that on his wickedness. Yet, once I start talking, he's always siding me. And that used to annoy him. In fact, if I had the anointing of Paul, I would have cast the demon out of him. These are the servants of God who are teaching us the way of righteousness. That's what he used to do. In my mind, will you shut up? You this evil soul. All of us know the kind of evil in your soul. They deliberately start speaking nice words. You know, as a child of God, I've seen it before. So one lady then, he said, Banky, don't say that. As a child of God, in my mind, if I slap you, you will know the son of who I am. So all this as a child of God, you are telling me. Because you could see through it. It's pretense. Wicked people in mind, all right? Trying to impress you with Christianity. God doesn't want deliberate examples. He wants converted examples. Are you getting what I'm saying? Whether they catch you in office or at home, wherever they catch you, do you understand? They know that this is how you are. It's not about you are trying to be, you are trying to be an example. You know what I'm saying? You want to, that's hypocrisy. One day a man gave me a compliment, one of the biggest compliments I ever had in my life. Poor guy, he's late now. He died a few months ago. We're in the same office. Well, he was in my office for a while. Some of my younger brethren came to Lagos. So they came to Lu to come and see me. Two of them. So they sat down, we're in the office and we're gisting. So he walked in. He's a very jovial guy, he used to be. He came in, he makes a lot of noise. So I think he beat me or something, talked plenty. Then he saw I had visitors. So you came to see him, eh? Be careful, oh. He will preach to you. Said, don't mind him. He's going to preach to you. If you leave him long enough, he'll start preaching to you. And he left. And they laughed. They laughed because they were my younger brethren from Benin. Do you understand? And to them, it was a testimony. I don't know where I get the point. He didn't know who they were. He just came to the office, made some fun, then looked at you. You have visitors. Said, this guy, don't mind him. He's going to preach to you. If you stay here long enough, he'll start preaching to you. You get what I'm saying? If I was something else in one place and something else elsewhere, you understand what I'm saying? So God is not looking for what? Deliberate examples. As I'm going to the office today, you normally are not a kind person. You're not sharing sweets to everybody, chewing gum, cake, everything. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're a grumbler. That's what I mean. Be a what? Converted example. That's what I'm saying. That's how you change the world. Once you are changed, that's one, you are an example. Then number two, when God gives you the opportunity, I don't mean you go harassing everybody. Hey, I pray you will understand what I'm saying. Daniel had a lot of co-ministers, did he not? They were all stealing. And you know, it didn't concern anybody. The other guy is thief. Daniel not thief. Did he concern them? No, it didn't concern him. It didn't concern them. The problem was when the head of state said he will make him prime minister. Ah, they said, no. Then this guy will now be in charge. That's the next thing I want to bring out. If every area under your influence, do you follow my point? Let me explain what I'm saying. Before I said, if your boss is still none of your business. Why? Because it's your boss. But from you to anybody beneath you, no stealing. Every sphere of your authority must reflect what you are. Do you get my point? I'm not saying you go to work and you say, as the bank says, none of my business. Your subordinates are your business. Do you follow my point? If you're a police officer, your subordinates will know, say, this is our guy. We don't deliver Roger money to him. And if we collect, he must not know. I hope you get what I'm saying. That must be the testimony. Where people cause unnecessary problems for themselves, this is what I'm saying. You not go in there and say, oh, we are the light of the world. In this police station, nobody's going to take Roger. Oh boy. Let me just summarize that. It's not your job. Unless you are the DPO. When you are the DPO, then everybody should get the point. That is when people start conspiring against you. And you get my point? And people will conspire against you. You can't do anything about it. They will. That's what righteousness does for you. It incites people against you. When you're in the midst of wicked people, it will incite people against you. It will. One day they are going to say, have you heard? This our DCU is about to become DPO. Maybe DCU is better than DPO. Whatever. That is when they say, no. Phone calls. People will start plotting. They are not angry with you. They are protecting their investment. You understand my point? They are protecting the cash that flows towards them. That's how Christians change the world. We don't deliberately go out and start causing trouble in the name of righteousness. That's what zealots do. That's zealots. Now somebody was saying, was Israel saying it, that this Al-Qaeda, they don't even know, Al-Qaeda does not know what they are trying to do. You know Al-Qaeda? You know this, Osama bin Laden and co. They have no purpose. Just scatter everything. Chaos. That's how you know that it's Satan that's working in them. That's what zealotry causes. Zealots, they want to change everything overnight. In that process, they spoil everything. Another point I should make before I leave is the fact that God has his time of judgment. You hear what I said? God does what? He has his time of judgment. That's what we Christians wait for. Now we just talked about the appointed time, right? God has his time of judgment. Let me tell you. That's the word, God's time. God's time. God will say, a time is coming. You read in the scriptures. When it will no longer be said that the thief is generous. Do you get my point? What God does at such times is that he elevates the righteous and pulls down the wicked. Only him does that. And he's the one that knows the time and the season that he will do it. Like I said to you, this is how we wait for God. We continually do what we are supposed to do in each season. When his time comes, when he has established you as the one amongst the policemen that are not corrupt, he knows what to do with you when the time comes. When he has established you as a politician that will not rig, he knows what to do when the time comes. The reason why we put our hands into iniquity is when God closes a door and wants to open a window. Yes. You don't try. You won't enter office. They say you no go win. You know, like Muhammadu Buhari is doing right now. Like, yes. You are losing. You start shouting. We hear they are rigging. They are rigging everywhere. Did you campaign in Southeast? No. You campaign for Southwest properly? No. So why should they vote for you? Let's even talk. You think you are righteous. You are a Messiah of some sort. Even the Messiah, we crucified him. So what's the big deal about you? Then I start shouting. Then it's rigging. Then men start fighting on your behalf. It's because you want to open windows that God has shut against you. And let me tell you, if you are like that, you will die suddenly. That's why men put their hands into iniquity. When God has closed the door, they want to open it by force. Sometimes it's a door they think into what is good. One day I heard a man say that his assignment now is that he wants to. What the impression was given, at least what I heard, is that politically, the church is not united. And if they were united, there would be a strong force against Islam in Nigeria. Please, that is wrong doctrine. I don't care who preaches it to you. The church does not operate that kind of political, atmosphere. We don't. The unity of the church only comes from maturity of the saints. Are you getting my point? You cannot politically unite them. It's flesh. All flesh is what? Grass. The only thing that unites believers is as they grow into the knowledge of Christ. Are you getting my point? The more they grow into him, the more they are automatically united. It's not politics. You've heard me say this every time. I don't believe. They say, oh, Christians should be in one denomination. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Jesus said it clearly. There are those who are with me who are not in this particular assembly. That's the way it is. Peter and Co. went one day and saw one man casting out demons in the name of Jesus. They said, shut up. Are you in our church? Stop using that name. You pay royalty. So now when I said, we saw a man today praying for the sick in your name, and we forbade him that he mustn't do it again. Jesus said, what's wrong with you? Let me add my own words. What is he taking from you? Don't you understand? It's obvious he's not against you. He is for you even though he's not in your church. Are you getting what I'm saying? The time that God will change everything is coming. The time that God will change that thing is coming. You know, I saw Nepal officials the other day in my house. And I gathered a kind of boldness to talk to them. A man was on my pole. So I came out. I just saw him from upstairs. I said, hey, you, what are you doing there? He looked at me and said, Oga. I said, my friend, come down from there. So we turned into a joke. I said, I'm coming. So I wore his shirt and went downstairs. Let me make a long story short. You want to cut my light? He said, yes. He said, have you paid? I told them, no, I haven't. I said, but you're not going to cut it. Why? Because the bill you give me is unreasonable. I said, you cannot give me a bill of 10,000 naira in a month and I will pay. For what? I'm not going to pay that amount of money. So after some time, they said, okay, how much are you going to pay? I said, I'm going to pay 5,000. They said, okay, go and pay that 5,000 and make sure you paste it too. I said, no, Hala. Now, I'm not giving all the details now because, they were helping. And if I had my bill there, they would have gone to pay it for me and return my bill. Honestly, they would have properly paid. So we went and paid the 5,000. Now, I'm going somewhere. Now, I told them simply, I'm not going to pay that, and that if you forget sending that nonsense, because it's an estimated bill. My house is a new house. There are new meters they don't have. So, my landlord paid for it since, but we don't have it till now. So, they use what they call estimated bills. And I found out in yesterday's paper that they called the meeting and warned them against, I sent the papers, against over-inflated estimated bills. I saw it in the papers. I'm going somewhere. And I began to think. I said, the time that this billing estimation, will continue is winding down. It's about to come to a permanent end. And my mind went back to the time of GSM, before the days of GSM, when a technician in Nitel was king. That is, you see, owners of industries, professors, judges will be waiting. And one small boy, because he's a Nitel technician, like, I don't have your time. Go, come on. Hey! And a high court judge will look at a a small boy, in 9-10. I shake his head. I say, Prof, come back by 2. Then, and all of them will be, you know, have you seen it before? They will be in a convoy of cars following the guy from one point to the other. That's his name. Where is it? One day, 9-10 was offering lines for sale in Enugu, 5,000. And we all laughed. We were laughing. Ah, 9-10 wants to sell line, 5K. And you tell your friends, say, you don't hear? Waiting. 9-10, they sell line. How much? 5. They will start laughing again. Nobody bought. The first time ILN wanted to buy Nitel, 1.1 billion they offered to buy Nitel. Right now, MTN is offering 38 million naira to buy a portion of Nitel. The biggest bid right now is 300 million. And they are begging those ones to pay. They say, will they look for money first? Will they come? And MTN say, well, no, just 38 million, we'll buy SAT3 or SAT1 or whatever it is. What I'm trying to say is that when that season ended, how did you for? Who forced it? You just woke up one morning, you heard that one man, Ernesto Ndukwe, has been appointed NCC Executive Vice President. And then he issued some licenses. The time came, Glo was selling line for 1 naira. That's all you know. Why did I tell the whole story? So when I looked at my NEPA people, my PAC people, and I began to smile, I said, boys, this is whether you like it or not. Wait, I don't have to waste too many words. You know it. I give it a few months. This season also will come to an end. The time will come. Listen, if you are a generator repairman, please go and start repairing motorcycles. So. Yes, yes. Because we'll continue to use motorcycles. This is just by the way. If they privatize PHVACM fully today, you'll be amazed at the amount of installed capacity we have. Not the one we'll try and build. The one we have installed already. When they kick it into full gear. Now, the point I'm just making is that seasons come. Are you getting my point? That's why I told the whole story. And they don't depend on you, actually. They don't. They're in God's hands. They are. He knows what he's counting. We can't discuss that now. He's counting righteous people. Do you understand my point? Yes, he is. He's counting righteous people. He's building each person up into righteousness until he has a critical mass. Then he releases the season. Because it is right now, if God changes seasons to no rigging. Look, a lot of elections in this our state, you did not vote. Did you vote? Why didn't you vote? You didn't have candidate. Many of you are not planning to vote. That next Tuesday, you just go vote for governor and go home. You don't know? What am I saying? You'll be amazed. If God tells you that, you know why I allowed them to rig for so long? There are not enough good people who can handle the offices. You say, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. God said, I looked for a man, I didn't find. So that's why he's spending his time not getting a few righteous people to be forcing change by force. He said, no, guys, build up your righteousness. Be examples. As you are an example, the people with the right spirit, because that's another thing you must understand. A lot of people are looking for who to copy into righteousness. They feel isolated. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Yes, they feel isolated. They feel I'm the only righteous person. The only other righteous person they saw was a troublemaker. Do you get my point? Yes, he came and scattered the whole thing. So the people fought him. And because the time was not ripe, you must understand, because the time was not ripe, God allowed them to overcome him. Therefore, the righteous man who was not a zealot felt at risk. He became afraid. What am I saying? A lot of good people are looking for... You can imagine that after Elijah fought, challenged the king, all those people hiding in caves, they came out. And I suspect if Elijah had not disappeared, they may have been following him around. I'm just trying to make that an issue. There are many righteous people in that place hiding. Some of them are just deliberately hiding. Some, they have been cowards, that is... People, the force around them does not allow you to see the good in them. That is, God expects you not to be a crusader, to be a light, that's what he expects, to draw such people out. So that because of you, they will see you suffer for righteousness sake. They will say, yes, that one is good. Not for foolishness sake. They will see, you'll be an encouragement to them. They will come to you at night, like, you know, Nicodemus. There are Nicodemuses everywhere. You know, in the Communist Party, in Russia, they are Christians there. They did not know. Yes. There were people amongst them who were Christians. Those ones they hide. And God is not angry. If people say, no, you must come out and be shouting. And no, there are times you should just keep quiet. You know, Jesus said, shh, come. See that you don't tell any man this one that I have done for you. Just go, just go, just go. He said, be wise as serpents. All right? You know what serpents are? People who camouflage very well. There are people who just know how to melt and disappear. Nobody knows they are there. Nobody. And God doesn't want people to know that he's there yet. After all, when Jesus was an infant, what did they do? Arise, take the child and his mother and do what? Run to Egypt. Some of us will say, no, you will stay there for Christianity's sake. Herod will come, behead the child. There are times that baby, no, I'm serious. They say, go out there, declare the testimony boldly. There are times that as a baby, you don't. You go there and in your mind, you flee to Egypt. Any Christians here? You'll be signing paper, you didn't hear them. Any Christians here? You say, is there any Christian here? Okay, I'm in the toilet. So get. Why? Because you are still an infant. Do you understand my point? Now, I'm trying to say that life is in phases. But God is raising people here and there. Do you understand? You are not. It's not your job to go and say, by force today, as I'm entering this university, they will know a Christian lecturer has come. No lecturer will take any money from any student again in the name of Jesus. As long as I'm here, I'm the light of the world. And after 2 years, when even your vice chancellor takes money, then you wonder, hey, I'm a failure. I've not represented my Christ very well. You start feeling guilty. And Satan will say, yes, better join them. You see, you're alone. No, what is God saying? Enter the place. He said, lecturers collect money before people pass. He said, this one will never collect money. Everybody must end his or her mark. Your head of department will take a course from you one day because he wants to pass somebody else. Again, it's none of your business. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
It is none of your business. You won't say, no, this course, I was teaching it from my mother's womb. He wants to take it from me now because he wants to pass his girlfriend. He's the head of department, is he not? Does he have the right to change who's taking the course? It's within his rights. Yes. When he instructs you pass that person, you can refuse. It's infringing. That's called, those in law would say, that's called ultra-virus. He's acting beyond his powers. So when the head of the department says, give this person that mark, he says, sir, you don't have that power. And he knows. He knows he does not have the power. So this mark, as I've given it, it stays. So I'm not telling you that Christians compromise anyhow. I didn't say that. As I've given that mark, it stays like that. Why? It's my mark. It's my mark. I have given it. I'm the lecturer. If he says, from now on, you won't teach this course again. You'll be teaching this one. Fine. There's no problem. But that mark, that is really suffering for righteousness' sake. You won't drop that mark. Just give this young woman 50. Let her go. Say, oh God, if now 49 she gets it, I will even pray. But this one at 31, I'm not giving her 50. I'm sorry. A man can do what he likes. Sorry, I am not giving that 50. That's what you can do as a Christian. Because with that, you are within your powers. Are you getting my point? I am not saying that Christians never speak against evil. I didn't say so. If it is your job, do you get my point? If you work, you go took employment in human rights organization, then it becomes your duty to explain human rights abuses. Are you getting my point? Yes, you must learn to do that which is your duty. Now, please, I hope you've gotten my point. What's the point I've made so far? I find out, all right, that Christians sometimes they get discouraged because they think they are failed in their duties. They are looking for somebody to give them the power to go out and change the world. And I told you, it's God that's changing the world. I like the way Oswald Chambers, all right, said it. I wanted to search out the quote, but I forgot, all right? Oswald Chambers said that Jesus did not come to save the world. I think I should say that, it will make everything clear. He said Jesus never came to save the world. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. It's the Father that was saving the world. Are you getting my point? It was the Father. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that they might not perish but have everlasting life. It was not Jesus that so loved the world that he died for the world. He never loved the world so as to die for the world. He loved the Father so as to be obedient to the Father's commandment unto the point of death, even the death on the cross. Are you getting my point? If the Father has said, go and condemn the world, he will have gladly condemned the world. Do you get my point? What did he come to do? He came to do the will of the Father. But I'm emphasizing the fact that the Father is the one, let me use my own words now, changing the world. It's not you. And I'm explaining to you this afternoon your duties in cooperating with the Father as He changed the world. I was explaining also that, see, He has His season. When He has amassed His righteous people, you'll be amazed. One day we wake up. But are they shouting, ringing, ringing? I'm not saying there was no ringing at all. There must have been here and there. But there was something that man did that was interesting. All his returning officers were professors and vice chancellors. You know the idea? Disgrace yourself if you like. Yeah, that's the idea. They were professors. In fact, vice chancellors first, unless you didn't find a VC. The idea is, disgrace yourself. A university is almost as big as half of a state, if not more. Universities are, I'm serious, they are massive financial and governmental institutions. So what he did was just to pick people who won't want to lose their seat for anything. Who begged him for that? Did you? Save Nigerian Group didn't ask for that. The man thought it wise. Whichever way God gave him the wisdom, this is how I want to do it. In his season, God knows how to elevate the righteous. And it's a good prayer to pray. The reverend said he used to pray that prayer then. And God used it to shake America. He said, God, bring down the wicked and lift up the righteous. It's a very good prayer. That's the next point I should make as I close. Another thing we do, all right, as we attempt to cooperate with God to change the world, apart from doing our duties, all right, sharing our testimonies and teaching people who are open. Remember we said that you are not there to cure fools of their foolishness. A fool is a fool because he loves foolishness. Are you getting my point? I don't argue with people anymore. Even my wife has found out that I don't like, even my wife, I know they argue with my wife again. The days of, no, this was what, that was when I was a young married man. As a 40-something year old married man. I just tell my wife, yeah, that day she was wearing a blouse. I said, this blouse is not your size. She said, but it's my size. Look at the design. I said, it's not your size. And I just left it. That is, if you like, wait, that is. You know, you know what I told you? As a married man, you don't argue over everything. You leave the powerful voice for when serious matters are down. I said, this cotton, it would be better if it was yellow. As a man, say, yellow, okay. Why not the normal, you know, ash, white, you know, green that we know? He said, no, yellow. You know, this is the color of the stars. I said, no problem. Your stars shine yellow, fine. Just enter your house. The only thing I told my wife is that, I told her long ago, even if I don't argue with you, the one way I won't do it, and that one I go do. I'm bringing her something. My wife has also learned, because she's a very, you know, I've been telling you, I married a good woman. Eh? Amen? And I've told her, if you listen to me, you also marry a good woman. If you believe me, you'll marry a good woman. Amen. If you obey the word of God, you'll marry a good woman. Amen. She can look very difficult at the beginning, but don't worry, she'll still be a good woman. Just by this testimonial. One day, one brother, he confessed to me, this was just a few years ago. He said, sir, let me tell you the truth. When I first heard you were married, Sister Ofoma, first sorry for you. Because I had seen her handle brothers in fellowship. So when I looked at you, I felt very sorry for you. Yeah, this is Pastor Bank. All you can do is speak in tongues and pray. After that, I look at then he noticed. That's when he could confess. We'll go for convention. My wife wants to do something. And she'll say, I'm coming. And she'll walk up to me. We'll talk for a while. And then she'll go back. So I needed to ask my husband's opinion. The guy now told me, I think it was last year or 2 years ago. He said, let me tell you the truth. That time you wanted to marry, I was feeling very sorry for you. Because you just felt that, you're marrying a tough babe. he didn't know that this guy may look nice outside. I'm a tougher guy, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, I learned the word of God long ago. And I married my wife because she respected that word. So what I'm trying to say is that your wife may look tough initially. Don't worry. You marry a good woman. Amen. You marry a good woman. Amen?
Amen?
Why am I saying so? I don't argue with my wife now. But you know, the interesting part, she knows, she's so sensitive now to know when I refuse to argue. She'll now come and say, okay, that thing you were saying then, what were you trying to say exactly? I said, no, I've made my point. I know you've made your point now. Please, can you just explain? You want an explanation? Now sit down. They are now explain. This is the point. You can't force anybody to do anything. You are dealing with adults. That's why it's crucial you marry a good woman. No? If you marry a bad woman, you go crazy early. I know what I'm telling you. When you see men who are always working, it's not that they love money. It's home they don't want to go to. You think they love money. It's my, and you know some people will be giving testimonies of suffering. Do you understand? Say, praise God. Secrets of success. Hallelujah. You get to the office at 6 a.m. and you get back home at 12 midnight. And on your way back, you take 2 bottles of Gouda Max. Hallelujah. So that when you get home, you can relax. That man used to do it to us to relax his brain. He's a lie. What he was doing was to stone himself out. So by the time he gets home, he all falls down. Bam! He all fall asleep. And by the time the Gouda are clear in the morning, it's time to go to work. They'll be giving testimonies of people suffering. I've seen it. See some men, they're in office. They walk. The one where God not give them, they do. They are always volunteering for work. Not be their fault. They don't want to go house. Then when they promote them, they won't delegate. They say, sir, you must learn how to delegate. He doesn't want to delegate. What are you saying? If he delegates, he has to go home. You won't marry a bad wife. I didn't hear amen. I didn't hear your amen. I want to hear it. Amen. Very good. The Lord is good. Why I say so is that if she is bad, you can't change her. You can't. You can only pray. Let me just summarize it in a few lines. God has a season. Amen. Just like we're talking about the appointed time. This is what we can do to change the world. You cannot deliberately change the world. When Moses tried it, he ended in the wilderness. Do you understand my point? When he tried it, he ended where? In the wilderness. But in God's season, God went to the wilderness, brought him out, and with his own mighty power, he changed the world. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's what God does. In his own time, he will change the world. But this is what you do. One, you remain a light. Light. God didn't say, this is interesting, I just got the revelation. He didn't say, you are the fire of the world. Did he say so? Did he get that revelation? Amen. That's a revelation. He didn't say you are the fire of the world. He said what? You are the light. Light, not they do anything. It just illuminates, just shines. That's it. If you want to look, you can be shining. People go close their eye. Yes, the Bible says that men love darkness. You can be shining, they run into darkness. You are shining, they do what? They disappear. So it's fire that will bring them out, smoke them out by force. So I'm so happy. Father, I thank you. He didn't say we are the fire of the world. If you are the fire of the world, you must go and join a militant group. But you are not the fire of the world. You are what? The light. What does light mean? Light is only, it only reflects its own nature. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, something is burning inside you. Are you getting me? But it's radiating light outside. The filament can be burning, but it doesn't ignite anything else. It radiates light outside. So your heart burns. And that's part of it. I can't go into it. You see troubles in the world. Your heart burns. It burns. You go and see, the Bible said concerning Lot, the righteous Lot was tormented day and night by the evil that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why I said, you don't join them. But it burns you. You are burning inside, but you are not out there forcing anything. But you are just shining. Your own case is different. Everybody is stealing, you don't steal. They inflate contracts, you don't inflate contracts. One of my friends then, he was a big man. Well, he's now a very, 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 very big man in pharmaceuticals, in not only in Nigeria, but in Africa. But then, he was a young, upcoming man. And then, you know, when they give them, when you move you to a new place, you stay in a hotel for 30 days or 60 days or 90. I don't remember the number of days his own was. So people, the money was good, right? You know, I mean, those days. The pay was small. The hotel money was big. So they go and look for invoice. People would sign invoice, send to their offices. And they're collecting the money and squatting with their friend. Or sleeping on the road with Almajiris in the north. You know, that kind of thing. Just to collect that money. They posted him to Kano then. And I said, how far? He said, he's going to stay in the hotel. I said, I thought you said your cousin lives there. I want to stay with your cousin. He said two things. I need time. I need to pray. I need time. I need time to be alone. And he said, secondly, I think I'm too big to be signing fake invoices for anybody. He needed the money like everybody did. But he said, no. My company is willing to pay for the hotel. I will sleep there, chop good food there. So let me go there. Because if I don't stay there, I'm not signing any invoice, fake invoice for anybody. So everywhere he went, he stayed in nice hotels. Can be in Abuja. Where are you? I'm in Sheraton. Why? My company said we should stay in Sheraton. His colleagues are forging invoices from Sheraton here and there. They say, no, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep very well. That's what I mean by light. It's not your job to go to the office and go and tell your manager, good morning, sir. Do you know that my... It's not your job. If they ask you, tell the truth. No. People say that's okay. It's bad to be telling tales. Listen, if I saw it and they asked me, I will tell. If I don't tell, it's a lie. It's true. But it's not my job to go and say, all of you, if I see all of you forging voice again, you are all going to be in trouble with me. You are not their boss. When you are their boss, it's everybody that forges an invoice. If you are not the boss, all God is asking from you is that you, no forged invoice. So God, the money is good. That's what is called righteousness. You are getting my point. While you are burning inside, be praying. Your prayers are necessary for the coming of the day of the Lord. I didn't add that to our prayer principle. We're talking about the appointed time. Prayers must continually go up. And that's something about Christians. We discussed it before about matter of prayers. Not every prayer has immediate results. There are prayers that you will live and you will die, you won't see the result. Not because God didn't answer. It was not the season. But he needed the prayer to add to the crucible. Yes. So, there are men who prayed for Nigeria 50 years ago. They are dead now. They didn't see Nigeria change. Don't worry. They are the only reasons why Jega decided to pick vice chancellors as returning officers. Because of the prayer they prayed 15 years ago before they died. It's added. The one you are praying now is being added. When the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon Nigeria. So you pray. When the occasion is given to you, you share your principles, your testimony, the word that you believe and that you understand. That's it. Then when the season is right, you'll be amazed. They will find you from wherever you are hiding. And the Bible says that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. People inferior to you, they conform. Righteousness, no, serious, I'm sure about this. Righteousness is defined by how accurately you are in line as far as the superior is concerned. That's righteousness. So when you enter an office, righteousness is defined by your standard. And the same standards you set earlier, God now gives you the opportunity to influence other people. Do you get what I'm saying? Until God gives you that lampstand to really shine brightly like that, my brother, just be shining the little place where you are kept. Have you learned anything today? Have you learned anything today? Don't let anybody make you feel like a failure because your father has not given his life to Christ. According to Gordon said, Christians want to do what even God said, I wish I could do. What does it mean? God said, I wish that all men would be saved. His wish. It's a wish. You know, they won't be saved. But as well, I'm wishing it, but wait. How much more small person like you do what God is saying, I wish? Because the Nigerians are going to judge. And the country is not yet changed. Wait, the country is changing. They said, hey, don't worry, it is changing. It's changing. We are eating it little by little under. See, when you see all the riots in the north, it's when demons are being cast out that they cast the boy into the fire. It's demonic casting out that we are doing. I've prayed some dangerous prayers. If you hear one big man died before Friday, I killed him. I was angry. And in my anger, I did some wicked things. And I woke up in the morning. I woke up and told the Lord, that anger of yesterday, I just realized that it has cooled down. But the decisions I took, they remain. That's my prayer. Don't erase it. Amen? Amen? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.